Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March the 26th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 27 in There Is a Solution, starting with the first paragraph, reading from Some of Our Alcoholic Readers May Think. And we're reading through two paragraphs today, ending with The Gate of Hell Had Closed on Him with a Clang, and comments on both paragraphs. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Chris W., 12 Traditions, Bev M., reader of the text, Mar Jo, page 164, Bonnie B., our backup is Anita L., a newcomer greeter, Felicia S., and our second hour host, Robin L. Great thank you to all these people for the month of March. Thank you, thank you. And the reference number for yesterday, which is Wednesday, March the 25th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,314. Then 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,315. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Please read, Chris.
Thank you, Tina. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris W. I will now ask Bev M. to read the 12 traditions. Please read, Bev.
Hello, Bev M. in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thanks so much, Bev M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sorry. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, page 27, starting with some of our alcoholic readers may think, through two paragraphs, ending with the gate of hell had closed on him with a clang. And I will now ask Marge O to begin reading for us. Marge.
Good morning, all. Marge O from Walpole, Massachusetts. Eternally grateful for visions. End OA. Some of our alcoholic readers may think that they can do without spiritual help. Let us tell you the rest of the conversation our friend had with his doctor. The doctor said, quote, "You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I have never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you." Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. So there's just so much in those two paragraphs, just so many things that for us to learn about and to be reminded about, I believe, or myself anyway. I guess I can't speak for others, but we may think we can do without spiritual help. Well, I didn't even realize I needed spiritual help until I came to OA. I could not figure out why I couldn't lose weight and keep it off, why I'd be back into the food within a short amount of time. And it would be a reasonable amount of food. It wasn't like I, you know, gorged myself, but it would start the bus rolling again, so to speak, on and on, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then I would be, you know, back at it, as people have said here again. And then I just didn't know if I asked, if I got a higher power, if I asked for help, if I stayed connected, if I had a chat with my higher power, if I stopped and paused and listened to what my higher power had to say to me, or, you know, asking for help. I just didn't know how to do that. And that is one of the reasons I say eternally grateful. That's what I learned here, is that that's what I needed, a higher power that would direct me through the messes that I would get myself into with my alcoholic thought process, because that is what I have, the mind of a chronic alcoholic, which I went down a different street, and I, you know, as I've said many times here, I overate and I overspent, And that's where it showed up in me. I wasn't so interested in drinking. I was much more interested in being, in eating and having fun and not paying attention to what I needed to. And I still can remember the feeling of when I would start eating again, like, I'm hopeless. And that is what this program also gave me, is the hope that I didn't have to do that, that I could do my step work. I could dig in and find out. And I've been here many 24 hours, and I've never stopped doing step work in many ways for myself and for others, you know, to work with people, but also to be able to say out loud where this disease took me. And not a pretty place, but I'm grateful for today. I don't have to live like that. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Marjo, for starting us off. Appreciate that. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. If you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back, and I will take your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Nate in Tennessee.
Pedro B.
Somebody in Tennessee. Pedro B. Who from Tennessee?
Nick F.
Nick. Oh, all right, Nick. Nick and Pedro B.
Rachel B.
in Colorado.
Rachel B. Who in Colorado?
Jen A.
Jen A. Gotcha, Jen. Who else? Got Nick F., Pedro B., Rachel B., Jen A. Got room for some more.
Karen K. in Mississippi.
Karen K.
Liz F.
Liz F. or S. in Oregon?
S is in Sam. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, let's start with these six. We've got Nick F., Pedro B., Rachel B., Jen A., Karen K., and Liz S. Okay, Nick, start us off. Nick, star one. We can't hear you, Nick.
Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your service. I'm Nikki in Tennessee, and I am compulsive overeater. Thank you, Marge, for getting us started. You know, what I think I heard was like feeling like the gates of hell had closed on me, and the hopelessness of this disease, the seemingly hopeless state of my mind and body. You know, I was on a meeting once, and somebody had to tell me that, Nick, you ain't got no willingness. And I just burst into tears in front of all the people on the meeting. You know, I had to hear things like that. Somebody told me, Nick, I'm going to be tough on you because you one tough cookie. You know, I had to hear hard things when I relapsed. And I thank God for that. Yeah, it hurt my feelings and it hurt my ego. But I'm abstinent today. Yesterday, I got to celebrate 60 days of abstinence, and it's because of everybody on the line, even the people that don't share or those who share, you know. And I get to be empowered, you know. I'm tired of trying to exert my own power. And, you know, when that person told me I didn't have no willingness, I got angry. You know, I was like, I'm doing everything that I can do. And when I do everything that I can do, I get the results that I can get. And I had to start waking up and really praying and meditate early in the morning, even this morning, getting up. And it's God that's doing this for me. I'm a 500-pound person who, you know, can't do anything for myself. And I sleep on a CPAP machine. At least that's what I used to be. But now with God, he is taking the weight away again. And I thank God for that. But even if it takes forever for the weight to leave, my mind is free. I'm no longer waking up in depression, no longer waking up in my mind racing and my body won't move. Like, I get to live and be, I get to be a mom today. I took my son to therapy. You know, I shared on Monday that I was ready to turn over my paternal rights. I was ready to give my dog away. But, you know, I walked my dog a couple of times yesterday. I took my son to school. I took him to his therapy appointments. I met with a social worker. Like, in God, I get to do everything. And I'm just believing God today that, you know, if he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, then I want to go back to school to even be a doctor to deliver babies again. Like, God is being so good to me. But everybody on this line is like God with skin on. And you're just like, God, I can't see you. I can't touch you. But my God, I can sure feel you. And so keep on sharing, you know. And if you end the food, maybe you ain't got enough willingness, because that's where I was, and I had to accept it so God could give me what I needed, and I'm giving some willingness today. I have a little willingness today to just share. It's intimidating to share on this amazing line, but God told me, Nick, just press star one, and that's what I did. And so thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you all, my family, and with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. Next, we have Pedro B., followed by Rachel B. Please share, Pedro.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
All right. Thank you very much. My name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California, and grateful to be here. I'm glad to be here. I heard that I need spiritual help. I need help from my higher power to stay abstinent from my alcoholic foods, period. You know, I don't do sickness well, and I'm sick now, and I lost my abstinence, and I'm grateful that I got to speak to a gentleman that encouraged me to get one day of abstinence. You know, can you get one day of abstinence? And I know what my alcoholic foods are, and I know that if it's not sickness, it's emotional problem, but I go back to eating french fries and chips, you know, even though I'm grateful, you know, that I didn't pick up the ice cream and the cake and the arroz con leche and, you know, all the stuff that I'm addicted to, you know, the processed sugar, the flour, and the wheat, you know. But I'm really grateful that I prayed yesterday to get one day, and I got one day. And I'm grateful that my focus is to ask this power greater than myself. This is a spiritual program of action, right? So I think I'm going to have to surrender. The fact is that I have not been able to stay abstinent. And I've been trying for a lot of years, and I get X amount of time, and somehow, for some reason, I always go back. And it's the same story, like my friend told me in here. Don't tell me. Show me. Show me. You know, and I'm grateful to, you know, start fresh. Keep it simple. Just get one day of, I got one day of abstinence yesterday. Can I repeat? Can I eat the same thing I ate yesterday and stay abstinent today? You know, because obviously I need help. I need help from my higher power. Thankfully, let me share.
Thanks so much, Pedro B. from California. Next, we have Rachel B., followed by Jen A. Please share, Rachel.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service. So glad to be here. I'm just going to share on that one part, in my spiritual life. You know, when I got into this program, again, I had all these opinions. I had all this stuff. I had so much drama going on in my life and so many problems going in my life at the same time that it's like that overeater's touch. Like everything I touched turned to crap instead of gold, you know, the Midas touch. And I couldn't understand. I just thought it was a me problem, you know. I thought it was I just got to try harder problems. You know, I just got to do better problems. And, you know, I didn't understand that my enlarging of my spiritual life has nothing to do so much with what I can do in that sense. It's what I can surrender. It's turning my hands over, straightening out my fingers, and living from letting go. Living from letting go every day. And that's what I get to do. And when I live from letting go, it's this beautiful adventure that my higher power that I call God, that He shows me who He is, what He's not, and where I'm going. He gives me this new vision. I feel so safe and protected in the things that I used to struggle with that I couldn't even fathom or wrap in my arms or hands even around. I get to do that just for today. Just like previous shares were sharing. You know, I stand in agreement with that as well. And it's just, it's such this life that I get to live. It's unimaginably beautiful. And it's just getting better and better. I am not without conflict. I am not without problems. I have a lot going on still. The pair of glasses and the power I get to live by is just the most beautiful thing. And I think the biggest gift I've been given in this program is the scalpel of pain, because it gets to chisel away everything that I don't have to be today. And it gets to put a hope and a vision in my heart of everything I get to be. And I can't do it without you, and I can't do it without God. And so I thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks so much, Rachel B. Can you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Yes, Illinois.
Illinois, thank you. All right, next we have Jen A, followed by Karen K. Please share, Jen.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thanks for taking the meeting. It's awesome to be on a vision meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous and be able to share my experience, strength, and hope around the freedom that I found. My name is Jenny, and, you know, I will say I am recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And the God that I speak about today is a different God than the God when I came in, because the God that when I came in was the God that had done me dirty, done me wrong, and had not given me my laundry list of things that I wanted. And one of those was to be thin, be beautiful, be liked, be loved, and to be important. And that's what I thought, you know. I sat in those pews. I read that Bible. You know, I believed what those people told me to believe, and I didn't get what I wanted. Today I know that, my thinking is off. My mind tells me that if I do this, I will get that. If I take that pill, I will be that size. If I eat this way, I will be skinny. If I go to the gym so many times a day, I will lose the weight. That's not what this program was about. This program was about a spiritual solution. And the spiritual solution drives out the obsession. What does it drive out the obsession of? The obsession to eat? No, the obsession of my mind, the overthinking. You know, it says right here, I have the mind of a chronic compulsive overeater. This disease is long lasting. It's reoccurring over and over and over. It is going to get me every single time. You know, and yesterday we talked about the bodyguard. There is no bodyguard that's going to oversee me. Like, we've all tried it, right? Locks on the fridge, not putting things in our pantry. I used to send anything opened with my kids to their dad's house over the weekend so I wouldn't eat it. We've tried all these different things. But you know what? It's not about the food, really. It's about my head. And I have an ego that wants me to believe the lies in my head that I'm telling myself. I make up these stories in my head and I listen to them and I believe them and I believe that they're true. And that's what gets me where? Back to the food. Because the overthink, think leads me back to the drink, or the food or the drug or whatever it is. So I'm super, super grateful that, you know, in There Is a Solution, we're talking about the mind and we talk about it for all these many pages. But what's even more important is that I need to remember that a spiritual awakening that's going to drive out the obsession, you know, that spiritual part of the program is a gift. It's a gift which is going to amount to a new state of consciousness and being. That's something that's given to me when I turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over to a power greater than myself. Then that power can restore me to sanity. I'm grateful to be sane and sound and here with you all today. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jen A. from Colorado. Next, we have Karen K., followed by Liz S., and we'll take another Liz. Please share, Karen.
Good morning, family. My name's Karen K. I'm in Mississippi. And thank you all for being here, and thank you for your service. This meeting is very precious to me. And this reading, where it says some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. Yeah, I can't do anything without spiritual help. I'm abstinent, but I'm struggling in my life right now. And the only thing that's helping me is my connection to OA and the people of OA and my higher power. My higher power is keeping me abstinent right now. And the fact that I have the mind of a compulsive overeater is showing up in other areas of my life as I struggle. You know, there's other compulsive things that I do. And that's definitely going on right now. And all I can do is reach for my higher power and do my best to stay connected to get through this really rough time I'm going through. And I know my higher power will get me through it as long as I keep doing the next right thing. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, this is Liz S. Was I called on?
Oh, sorry. Thanks, Karen from Mississippi. Liz S. from Oregon, please share.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you all who have shared.
We can't hear you, Tina.
Yeah, I said Liz S. Next, Liz S. from Oregon. Star one, Liz. Can I be heard? Can I be heard?
Yes, you're being heard just fine.
Yes, we can hear you.
Are you able to unmute, Liz? I hear somebody with a child or something.
Hi, it's Liz S. Can I be heard?
Okay. Yep, I can hear you. Please share, Liz.
I apologize. Anyway, I grew up in a constant state of anxiety and fear. I was thinking that I was going to be reprimanded regardless of what I did. So I was on guard with reasons for why I did what I did, the overthinking that a couple of people have really hit on it and explained and talked about. and I have that. And I thought that was the tool that could get me out of trouble and keep me out of trouble. And I needed to be out of trouble because God was going to punish me if I didn't stay out of trouble. So I grew up with that adrenaline rush. And when I got older, I started looking for it. I looked for it in alcohol. I looked for it in men. I looked for it in women. I looked for it in pills. I looked for it in food. Most. And so once I turned off the supply of these other things that gave me a rush, gave me that little of adrenaline, I got it through food. Oh, I'm doing something fish and you did. And I stay away from that adrenaline rush because it was pleasure. And I am looking for happiness. So I learned the differences between pleasure and happiness, and I am looking for happiness. It's like weeding my garden. I have to pick out the weeds that are the I got away with it, weeds, and let the beautiful plants of God's love and kindness grow in me day to day. And that's all I have. Thank you for waiting for me and letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Liz S. from Oregon. Before I take another list, let me tell you where we're reading from if you've come on a little late. We're on the first full paragraph on page 27 in the chapter, There is a Solution, starting with some of our alcoholic readers may think, and then reading through two paragraphs, ending with the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. I'll take your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sarah T.
Sarah T.
Sarah T. Yep, thanks.
And Barrett. Mara Z. That's how I got Monica T. Anne Marie.
Julie G.
Okay, let me tell you who I've gotten, and if you've given your name and I don't have it, please tell me. It's Sarah T, Mara Z, Monica T, Anne Marie M, Hanietta, and Julie G. If you've given your name and I didn't call it out. Okay, I could probably take one more name.
Okay. Kimberly K.
Alicia S.
Kimberly K. I don't think we'll have time, Felicia, but we'll go with, well, we will get you if we do. Okay, we have Sarah T, Mara Z, Monica T, Anne Marie M, Hanietta, I think it's R, not sure, Julie G, Kimberly K, and Felicia S. Please share, Sarah. Tell us where you're calling from. Star one, Sarah.
I am so sorry. I was talking away. Yes,
okay.
I'm here. Thank you. Hi. Good morning. I'm Sarah T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, my gosh. I'm so grateful. Thank you all to everybody here and everybody who shared for helping me identify in and know that I'm in the right place. I just have heard a lot of wonderful things this morning. You know, this part of the big book that says our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. Gosh, that's so dramatic. And every time I've read that, I get a little bit nauseous. And I was reminded recently that there is absolutely zero good news in step one. And I actually found a lot of relief in that. It's like, oh, it's not that there's no good news. There's no good news in step one. And that's the truth. And I've heard others share this morning about hard truths and how uncomfortable we have to get to take a look at those things before. I was thinking of the AA 12 and 12 that's talking as well about how, you know, these uncomfortable truths, this hell, you know, the door closing, is the foundation upon which our recovery is built. And I so needed to hear that. And yesterday I kind of had a spiritual awakening. You know, what's coming to mind about that door closing is I've always heard, if you're going through hell, keep going. You know, don't stop, keep going. And it makes me think of action. And I've always thought, because I hear a lot in this meeting and in the rooms of recovery, you know, surrender, surrender, surrender. And I've always had the misunderstanding, I think, of the word surrender, in that I've thought that surrender was a feeling. And what I'm learning is surrender is an action. Like, you know, I have to be willing to take action. I have to be willing to say, I can't decide in my own brain what I can eat today. I need to talk to a dietitian or an outside person outside of my own brain who's an expert to tell me what I can handle, because I have to surrender the fact that I can't decide that on my own, because my disease is always going to give me excuses or tell me I can have more than I can have, etc. I have to surrender every day and send my plan of eating to a sponsor. And that is an act of surrender. And yesterday, because you know what, you guys, I just never want to. I never want to do these things. And so I have to surrender that fact as well. I heard someone early on say, I can be willing to do things I don't want to do. And that has saved my life. Because, you know, yesterday I didn't want to go to a movement class. I really struggle with body movement. And I thought, you know what, I can surrender that and I can just take the action and go. And I did, thank God, by the grace of God, I did. And I felt so much better for it. And thank you so much. And so I just am reminded that if we're going through hell, we got to keep going. So with that, I'll pass. I'm Sarah T., Louisville, Kentucky. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Sarah T. from Kentucky. Next, we have Maura Z., followed by Monica T. Please share, Maura.
Thank you, Tina. This is Maura Z. in Virginia, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. There's so much here. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. I need to remember this. I need to know this in my bones on a daily basis. I need to know I can't do this on my own. I have to have a power greater than myself to get out of this predicament I'm in. This is not something that is humanly possible to put into remission. I have no power. I have no intelligence. I have no knowledge, nor does any other human being on this planet have the knowledge or the power to help me stop being a chronic compulsive food addict. This is my lot in life. This is who I am. And so I wondered sometimes in the beginning when I heard people identify themselves as a grateful compulsive overeater, I thought, are you freaking nuts? Why would you want to be happy about being a compulsive overeater? This makes no sense. I understand this today because the life I have in recovery beats the hell out of anything I had when I was in the food. That was my miserable existence. I had no life. I just moved through the days one at a time in absolute misery, in being a rageaholic, being angry all the time, and being not a nice person. Even when I thought I was being a nice person, it was always what's in it for me. These two paragraphs tell me I have no power. I am a chronic compulsive overeater. And I am grateful today because I found Overeaters Anonymous. I'm grateful still again because I found this particular meeting, which studies the big book. Because the answers are in here. The chapter is called There Is a Solution. I know what to do as long as I stick to this book and I stick to my higher power. I have the knowledge one day at a time because, you know, tomorrow I can wake up and I can be a rageaholic, or I can wake up and I can forget how good my life is out of the food and I can decide to pick up.
Gentle reminder.
Thankfully, that's not the case today. Today I pick up the tools. Today I pick up my connection to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks so much, Marzi from Virginia. Next, we have Monica T., followed by Anne-Marie M. Please share, Monica.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, everyone. This is Monica T. I live in Florida. So here we are in the chapter, There Is a Solution, thank God. And we're reading Roland Hazard's story. And Roland, had gone to Europe and tried to get into Dr. Freud and Clinton and Dr. Adler and Clinton and ended up with Dr. Jung. And I sure am grateful he ended up with Dr. Jung because Dr. Jung believed there was a God, there was something more. So he spent a whole year with him. He did not drink during that year. And on his way home or on his way to go to get a boat to get home, he gets drunk again and goes back to Dr. Jung and says, hey, what is wrong with me? And the doctor tells him. And I'm so glad he didn't say, oh, come on in, Roland. Oh, I got something more that we can do. But he didn't. He gave him the cold, honest, hard truth. And here he's saying, you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I have never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you. And I have a little state of mind underlined and above it, page 24, paragraph 1. State of mind. What is this state of mind? There in the squiggly writing there, we are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. And I always say to that, I can't even remember the things that I said an hour ago. I don't remember. I don't have a memory of the consequences or of the resolutions that I made. This is an awful state of mind. This is the mental obsession here. This is the powerful part of our disease that we have that I am absolutely powerless against. Because it won every single time. And I would think I was just the best idea. Well, yep, you've been good for such a long time, you can have one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? And what would always happen, you know? I'm in the cycle. So I'm glad and I'm thankful for Dr. Jung and that he was honest and that he did believe that there was something more, that he had seen something more, which is what we're going to read tomorrow. So thank you, Dr. Jung, and thank you, all of you here on this line. Together, we get better. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Monica T. from Florida. Next, we have Anne-Marie M., followed by Honeyetta. Please share, Anne-Marie.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Tina, for leading us in our meeting. And thank you for all the shares. I'm Anne-Marie M. I am in South Carolina. And through God's grace and mercy, I am recovering from compulsive overeating today. I'll tell you, on Tuesday, I heard all these shares this morning and the vulnerability of all of them. And I was in awe. And I thought to myself, I can be vulnerable too. Not that I like it, but maybe I could be helpful to someone else. So, the gates of hell closed on me on Tuesday with a clang. my goodness, I am grateful for one day of abstinence yesterday, and that I, through God's grace, will be abstinent again today, because God is softening my heart of stone. I heard some really hard facts, cold, honest, hard truth yesterday, Tuesday. And, you know, I needed to hear that. And I think in order for God to soften my heart, it has been suggested to quite a few sponsors that to get some outside help. And yesterday, Tuesday, I was thinking about going into inpatient treatment. And I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful husband. And he said, you know, Anne Marie, if you go into a treatment center, what are they going to teach you that you don't already know? You know what to do. You have the answers. He said, it might be better for you to talk about some of these issues. Because I, was it Sunday, I did a 10-step, and I didn't know what was bothering me until I talked to someone about it. I don't know if you want to call that a 10-step or not, but I recognized my part, and I recognized what bothered me. And so this has been an ongoing thread of mine, this thorn in my side, if you will. And I am going to seek out a therapist to help me get through this, some outside help. It's suggested in the big book also that some of us may need that, and I'm open
to
it.
Reminder.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful for being open. Pass.
Thanks so much, Anne Marie. I'm from South Carolina. Glad you shared. Next, we have Honeyetta R., followed by Julie G. Please share, Honeyetta.
Hi, this is Honeyetta R. from Texas. C-H-A-N-A-Y-E-T-T-A. And, excuse me. And first, I'll welcome all the newcomers. And if you think this is overwhelming, just don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. And everybody has one. And if you're struggling, you know, we have to remember it's to ask for God's help and to pray for our willingness to accept God's help. Anyway, I'll go on to this. But thank you for everybody that shared so far. I just love listening to everyone. I just love you all so much. And then it says, in the first paragraph, it says, some people think that they could do it without spiritual help. You know, I feel bad for those people because there's no other way. And spiritual meaning any kind of spiritual help. It doesn't have to be God. It could be any, whatever your spiritual beliefs are or not. But I did go into a treatment for compulsive eating, and they said to me that you're just a psychopath and you'll never do this correctly because you just don't know how to care for other people. And I didn't know what psychopath meant. I had to go look it up. I had to call somebody. I didn't have a dictionary. I had to call somebody, and we don't have the stuff we can do now and put it in my cell phone. But we went and they tell me what it meant. I go, I'm not that at all. I'm one of the most caring, loving people I know. And my problem is a lot of times that I care for other people, but I never wanted to care for myself. And that was my problem. So, but now I have this beautiful relationship with my higher power. And the other thing I didn't do was I didn't work the 11th step all the time. And now today I'm working the 11th step. And that means at night and a lot of times in the morning, not every morning, but every night. And I do my 11-step review. Oh, and I do think about what I'm going to do with the rest of the day, but I don't always read the few paragraphs. And I need to do that because, you know, once we start to slip in one little place, is what happens. And then we don't slip here. We don't, and then we don't do this. And then we stop doing that. And next thing you know, but the other thing I've been doing, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the BLTs, the biting, licking, tasting. Well, I was still doing that. If something was my finger, I'd put it in my mouth. And I have not done that in over a week.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Because somebody said to me, so are you perfectly abstinent? And I was like, oh, you know. And so, thank you. I've had real clean abstinence for the last week or so. So I'm really excited about that. And thank you for your service, my dear Tina. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, honey, at the R from Texas. We got about 5 minutes, so Julie and Kimberly can take 2.5. And Felicia, if you would like to share on the next meeting, I would appreciate it. Sorry about that. We have Julie G followed by Kimberly K. Please share, Julie, and tell us where you're calling from.
Sure. Good morning, Tina. Thank you so much for your service. I am Julie G. I am a compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. And I'm just so grateful to be on the line with all of you here this morning. As somebody shared earlier, right, I can't see you and I can't touch you, but I can feel your presence. And it means so much to me because for me, fellowship and studying this literature and asking the God of my understanding to reveal things to me through the words of others, that is part of the spiritual help that I am now benefiting from. And, you know, that this second paragraph that we read today, it is, you know, that's kind of step one stuff, in my opinion, right? That with we are hopeless, I am hopeless, I am powerless, but there's some, you know, there's a lot of good news in these pages. And there was a time when I felt like I could perhaps do this without spiritual help. And what I have realized lately is that as I put more energy and attention into my 11-step work in seeking conscious contact with God, in striving to cultivate my relationship with the God of my understanding, that God over-delivers every time. And I have felt more centered and just stronger. And I realized that in my disease, I was always praying for the wrong thing. And I think that I was praying for what I thought would be an easy way out. But this really is pretty simple. And when I make the time, I feel such a connection and such hope. And I do believe that no matter where we are in this disease process, there is hope for each and every one of us. And I'm just so grateful for the shares that I heard this morning and such a wide variety of experiences. Yeah. And I'm grateful to share myself. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Julie G. from Pennsylvania. And our last share will be Kimberly K. Please share, Kimberly, and tell us where you're calling from. Star one, Kimberly.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning.
Okay.
Can you hear me? I got plugged up there.
I can't.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a joy to have my feet on the ground and be excited to join this meeting. What a godsend for me. And many of us, I gather for sure, that we have these vision meetings. I am so grateful for the spiritual conditioning and recognizing I've been abstinent since the end of October, praise God. And anyway, recognizing I need my spiritual conditioning and that if I didn't come through the halls, I was going to die. And I continued to be grounded that that was my reality. I had lost the glow or whatever. And today I can wake up and know absolutely that God has guided me to dial up and be on this OA virtual. And I can't say enough about the paragraph because it tells me I'm this. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've really learned that in these past months, like really learned it and really grasped onto the fact that with the spiritual conditioning and a friendship with my God, that spiritual help will continue to allow me to heal and be better and make fellowship with such beautiful women that understand and can support that and shore that up for me. Or I'm going to die. I mean, the gates of hell were coming, and God guided me to a virtual meeting, got me a sponsor, and I stand a chance not to be in hell. I've been in hell. I don't want to be in hell. So I... See you tomorrow. 8 days, lesson. Thank you, Tina.
Thanks, Kimberly Kay. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. Today's share ID for Thursday, March the 26th, 2026, is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,317. That's 23317. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Bonnie B. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Bonnie.
Hey, thanks, Tina. Thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him, as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.